So, when did counseling stop being about problem solving?
Well, not anymore.
Introducing solution-focused counseling
with the Unlicensed Counselor.
And now, here's your host, Steve Moak.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Unlicensed Counselor. My name is Steve Moak. I am the Unlicensed Counselor, and as always, so grateful to be here on a beautiful, sunny Scottsdale, Arizona day. Know you like to hear your regular Scottsdale weather updates as you tune into the show, but boy, it's just a beautiful time of year. And again, so grateful to be here. Have a fun little topic I want to get into today. You know, I've been putting some thought into this, you know, the topic of credibility. If you're like me, you know, you watch a little bit of news, you try and digest it. I'm a skeptic of, God knows, so much these days, but especially when it comes to the news. And I read a lot. I read in the morning when I wake up and kind of cover different news outlets and things. I listen to different podcasts. I watch a little bit of the news just to try and kind of stay current on current events. But boy, have they lost me in terms of credibility. And it just got me thinking, like, why? Like, I've never distrusted news or government things, and I'm not some conspiracy theorist or anything like that. But when I started to dig into it, I'm like, there is a crisis of credibility that has kind of happened within not just news and a lot of other things. I would actually argue that there's a crisis of credibility within the treatment center environment as well, too, and the behavioral health world and a lot of these treatment modalities that people use. So I've just had this idea and thought process around credibility and kind of how you get credibility, how to lose it, how to gain it back, And I just started to explore some of these thoughts over the last couple of weeks. And today I want to dive into it in a little bit more detail and have a little fun and maybe poke fun at some things along the way as well, too. So, but before we dig into that, I always like to say a big thank you to our friends and sponsors who've been with us for over a year now. I can't believe we've been doing this for over a year now. And I'm not even sure, Robin, how many episodes that we're up to. It's a lot, right? I mean, a lot's a big number as far as I'm concerned. As a guy who walked in the door, wasn't sure this thing was going to make it past episode 10, and then to have thousands of people download and listen to this every month. What a fun, you know, byproduct of this entire thing. But first and foremost, our friends at ShareTech, they've been with us every single step of the way. Go to betterdrugtest.com. If you need an at-home drug or alcohol screen, there is no better test available on the market. This is the industry leader for at-home drug and alcohol screening. This is what the leading treatment centers tell their clients to use when they discharge and go home. Why do they do that? Because this test has multiple safeguards to ensure someone trying to cheat or manipulate the result, right? So this tests for the most number of substances out of any drug or alcohol screen available on the market, and it tests for alcohol as well, too. So go to betterdrugtest.com, pick up one of these tests if you're in the market so you can trust the results that you're getting. You're going to get a lab report sent to you with the results as well, too. And then I always like to talk about the nonprofit work that I'm doing for youth drug abuse prevention. Go to the stopstartshere.org. This is the organization is called Hard Stop that I co-founded with. We are passionate about doing edgy, bold youth drug abuse prevention, social media messaging. So give us a follow. You've probably already seen some of our ads that are out there. We've got some new great content that we're getting ready to roll out as well, too. Something I'm really deeply passionate about. And I hope you give us a follow. And if you want to give us a couple bucks along the way, too, we'd sure appreciate that. And then last but not least, you know, follow the Unlicensed Counselor on all your traditional kind of social media things as well, too. Love to keep the conversation going. Shoot me an email at steve@theunlicensedcounselor.com. Follow along on YouTube. We're posting all the episodes and also some shorts and social media clips that we're doing as well, too. Just kind of getting better and better every week, every month, every year that we keep on cranking out some stuff. So appreciate all the support. Couldn't do it without you. And it's really been a fun journey to kind of keep this thing going. And it's neat to see that, you know, kind of a guy like myself who went to graduate school, obviously didn't complete my licensure because I didn't complete kind of the practicum part of my training, and that's why I'm the unlicensed counselor. But I still want to put this to good use, all this information that's kind of rattling around. And really the goal of the unlicensed counselor is kind of bite-sized, digestible, kind of action-oriented items around behavioral health topics, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So have you given much thought to credibility? I would think a lot of people have over the course of the last year. And, you know, obviously the last couple of years, the biggest one is COVID. and how organizations that I would have never second-guessed in my life, like the CDC and things like that, you know, came out with information and took strong lines, and government agencies, and obviously a lot of this fell along political lines as well, too, came out and made these very bold, very declarative, very we are right statements. And then, you know, fast forward 2024, we've got Dr. Fauci coming out and saying, yeah, a lot of that stuff is not right, was not accurate, the social distancing, the 6 feet, the, you know, all these different types of things. And I'm just using that one because obviously it's one that impacted all of our lives very clearly. And it makes me think, okay, you've lost credibility now, right? You've lost, you came out very strongly. My grandmother passed away in Michigan. We couldn't be there in her nursing home because of the rules that were put in place. And she passed in a nursing home where we didn't get to surround her and be next to her when that happened. I mean, this is, and that's just, that happened across the entire country for all these just ridiculous reasons. So I really want us to think about, you know, when we're seeing someone now, do they have the credibility? Do they deserve kind of the credit that we're giving them? And let's flush that out. Maybe think a little bit more critically about that. So what is credibility, right? I think we all have a general working knowledge of it, but it's really trustworthiness, reliability, and integrity that we kind of attribute to a source or to an individual based on their perceived knowledge or reputation, right? So again, prior to COVID and things like that, I didn't really have any reason to not believe anything that was coming out of the CDC. And it's like, well, I thought they had our best interest at heart. These are, you know, smart people around infectious disease and things like that. I certainly not something I spent a lot of time or know anything about. So I would look to these people as a source for credibility and for the information that they're rolling out. And now, after we've been through kind of the fire drill that we've been through with COVID and things like that, not only has it opened my eyes to just who I need to deem as credible sources, but now really start to question a lot of this, the sources that I do take in as well, too. So I'm actually, maybe in a sense, I'm grateful for this because it's opened my eyes or pulled back the curtain or whatever it is in order to try and think about where I gather and how this information and what angle or agenda it's being kind of spewed from as well. And again, this falls into the political spectrum as well, too. So, you know, we're going to touch on that today as well, too. So let's talk about the importance of credibility. I mean, I think we all have a general idea about the importance of credibility, right? But the number one thing on my list as I was kind of going through show prep is, you know, trust building, right? So credibility helps in establishing trust in relationships, whether personal, professional, public, right? So let's take an example. A doctor's credibility is crucial for patients to trust their diagnosis and for those treatments. And unfortunately, you know, even that's been called into question to some degree, right? I still have, you know, my general practitioner that I show up to. I go to my ortho if something flares up on my knee and things like that. And I would have never in a million years ever questioned anything. But now when I show up, if there's some opinion that they may be pushing or asking a lot of questions around, am I vaccinated? Am I not vaccinated? Or they're trying to vaccinate my, you know, 2-, 3-, 4-year-old daughter. It's like, huh, okay, this is interesting. I think we've kind of vetted through this process that not all of this was necessary for kind of people of this age and age group, and whether you choose to be or not, that's completely up to you. I have no personal opinion on you choosing to do that, but being forced upon that by organizations, institutions, or three-letter agencies that have lost their credibility, that's where I really draw a line to, right? So, you know, I do think that we need to have conversations with our physicians and things like that and make sure that their credibility is kind of in line with what our medical and health goals are. I'm not saying to question them, right? But I do think it's healthy to kind of have conversations with them around this. And again, if you need to see second opinions, which used to be a pretty common thing, I think that that's a very fair way to go about doing things. And I am just a little more inquisitive now about the care that I get rather than just kind of blanket accepting, which I think had been kind of always my way of doing things in the past. And, hey, you know, I don't know if that's good or bad, but I feel like I need to be a little bit more informed, a little more current on my care and make sure that, you know, the information that they're getting is kind of in line with a lot of the information that I've digested. Because we are able as individuals to source a lot of this information. We're not physicians, right? I'm not trying to be Dr. Google or anything like that, but there is more information available to us out there in the world than there ever has been. And so I am an intelligent individual and allowed to make some, you know, questions around my level of care or ideas around the care that I'd like to receive. And I think that's pretty reasonable, right? So number two on the importance of credibility is influence and persuasion, right? So people with high credibility are more likely to influence others and persuade them effectively. A credible leader, for an example, can more easily motivate employees and drive kind of organizational change too. So, you know, if you have this credibility, you know, you're able, and that's why I think social influence, people give a lot of credit to these social influencers and things that are out there. And I, you know, we have to be careful of what they're being bought and paid for and things like that. But credibility can be a positive thing as well, too. It doesn't just have to be negative. If you have opinions on matters and you have a track record of continually being correct, like, that's someone that I want to listen to their opinion on financial matters, markets, you know, geopolitical issues and things like that. If you've shown me a track record over time and you've established that credibility, I think it's really important. And I would want to kind of listen or be influenced by individuals who have shown a high degree of credibility, right? So number three on my list on the importance of credibility is decision-making. So credibility ensures that information used in decision-making processes is accurate and reliable, and this helps in reducing risk. So like I just referenced, financial advisors, for example, you've really got to make sure that these are credible people to make sure that they're guiding you into these financial and big important decisions, right? I mean, I think we all know who Bernie Madoff is, right? I mean, these... And as I've been in the capital raise world and kind of in the startup scene, you know, I have seen not people like Bernie Madoff, but I have seen kind of sharks and predators who really do prey on other individuals like that. And it's like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, it's again kind of pulled the wool back off my eyes to see how much of this stuff kind of goes on in some of these industries. And you really need to make sure that the person that you're putting your life savings into or investing with has that high degree of credibility as well, too. And we'll get into kind of identifying either the lack of credibility or how to build it as well, too. So just something to think about, right? And last but not least on the importance of credibility is the reputation, right? So credibility enhances one's professional reputation, opening up opportunities for career advancement and a broader societal impact. You know, let's take, for instance, a scientist. With a credible reputation, gains more respect and attention for their research. You know, I think one of the really interesting things that we went through, you know, and certainly no scientist here, but, you know, when people were starting to question the efficacy of vaccines or who needs to get vaccinated and stuff like that, there were, you know, not only were those people cast down and kind of frowned upon, they were pulled from social media platforms, they were deplatformed, they were kind of called crazy. Slowly but surely, all of the information that they were kind of touting at the time has now shown to be accurate, right? So, you know, I think reputation is a really important thing in, you know, in our scientist world. In my opinion, I always thought scientists was about questioning as well, too. I mean, it's supposed to be questioned, to be challenged, and then to be proven, and then replicated, and then tried to be proven again. So, you know, these are really interesting things. And now you've seen people whose reputation, candidly, in my opinion, should never come back. There's enough news anchors, there's enough scientists who just spewed and with such kind of vigor and passion and how, you know, you needed to be this, that, and the other thing as it related to COVID, and were just flat out wrong, right? They were just flat out wrong. So I think that that type of person who has a reputation now of that has no credibility, and we need to move on from them. So why would I ever listen to someone who then came to me the next time around and be like, no, I was 100% wrong about everything I said before, but this time you need to listen to me. That is the exact opposite around how credibility works, right? Sorry, I get a little fired up talking about this stuff today. You know, just it's really important to be able to understand who has that credibility and who doesn't. And I think that if we don't do that, we're going to continue to fall into these same trappings, the same pitfalls, the same people that are leading us down these really poor places. So that's why I'm just, I hope that this can really get through today and kind of, you know, resonate with somebody. And I know that we've all thought about this, and I hate to beat a dead horse on the COVID thing, but I wanted to take it from a credibility perspective. You know, all the other COVID stuff aside, I want to talk about the people who came at you who were so vehemently saying you need to do this, that, and the other thing. You can't go to a hospital. We shouldn't treat you if you haven't been vaccinated, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, those people lost all credibility. I don't need to hear Keith Olbermann go off on some other BS rant. I mean, that guy is the biggest joke I think I've seen that's out there. So, anyways, all right. Now, speaking of lack of credibility in Keith Olbermann, you know, you can tweet this podcast at him if you want to, right? I don't really give a rip. But let's make sure that we know how to spot someone who lacks credibility, right? So we want to, if they're lacking in credibility, how do we identify who that person is so we can kind of weed them out and filter them out of our lives, right? Number one on the list, inconsistent statements, right? People who frequently contradict themselves or provide information that varies from one situation to another. That's lacking credibility. So if you're always kind of changing or kind of manipulating the story and things like that, you know, the news does this all the time, not just COVID as well, too. This could be from any type of news-related source. You see this from government, politicians, all these types of things where they're contradicting themselves, right? Just know that when you see that kind of flip-flopping, that contradiction, that saying things on both sides, that story varying here and there, that's a person that lacks credibility, right? So that's an easy telltale sign to be able to say, got it, you have no credibility. I can just kind of move on and don't need to listen to the next thing that comes out of your mouth, right? Next up on the list is lack of transparencies, right? So those who are unwilling to provide clear, straightforward answers or who evade questions may not be credible. I mean, I'm not sure if there's more a definition of what a politician is, right? You know, a lack of transparency. I mean, these folks can't, you ask a question and, you know, Kamala Harris wanders off, and Biden wanders off for different reasons because he don't know where he's at. But Kamala Harris just will throw a word salad at you or something like that. And it's like, you're just evading the question. I'm just trying to get in, you know, have you been to the border? Have you been to the, you know, this. And so these people who take this and they're trained so well, right? You know, and I'm just picking on that side, right? But it's pretty obvious right now of what's going on. And they're able to just kind of sidestep kind of using the words, and they're very good at it and slick. Some are better than others. Some just kind of wander off and you're just like, am I just being gaslit at this point where you're just completely not even answering the question? So just look for that. That lack of transparency, number two sign of, you know, this person lacks credibility. Number three, and I just touched on this one before, poor track record, right? So a history of unfulfilled promises, errors, or unethical behavior can indicate a lack of credibility. It's very easy, you know, and it's cool that, you know, Twitter exists in the world or X exists in the world now, as you can go back and look at people's tweets and go, okay, I mean, you said it right there. And conversely, you can look at the people who go, yeah, lockdowns are harmful, lockdowns are hurting children, lockdowns don't seem to be making an impact. And it's all documented out there in the world. So it's like, okay, I mean, now we can kind of point to a you know, call it a scoring system of kind of whose track record is good. And then you be the judge. If you want to continue to listen to the poor track record people, go for it. That's up to you. But what I'm talking about, that lack of credibility, you know, is kind of tied to your track record as well, too. Number four, unsubstantiated claims, right? So individuals who make claims without evidence or support from data or references may lack credibility. You know, that's a pretty easy one. If you're out there just making wild claims about this, that, and the other things without evidence to kind of support this, obviously that's a person who's going to lack some level of credibility, right? I don't know. It could be the same person who's trying to say they've seen Bigfoot or the aliens or things like that. You wouldn't believe that person, right? So why would you believe a politician who's kind of behaving in the same way just because they're talking about different things? Aliens, we should do an episode on that as well, too. I don't even know what's going on. I'm not up to speed on what's going on with aliens, if they're here, if they're around or not, but it's certainly something that's of interest. Number five on the identifying lack of credibility list is overpromising. Right? So frequently making commitments that are unrealistic or exaggerated can be a sign of low credibility. Now I'll stop picking on politicians and the left and things like that for a hot moment. This could just be a friend too, who's always saying, I'm going to be there. We're going to go for that hike. I'll meet you there. We'll do that class together. I want to get together and do dinner. you know, they don't show up, right? They're not there. They bail at the last second. I just had a date that bailed on me for a gala thing that I was, you know, literally the day before, you know, cute girl, nice girl. Night before I get a text, hey, you know, can't make it. Something came up. And I'm just like, okay, you know, am I frustrated at first? Yeah, absolutely frustrated when this happens. But it also tells me, okay, this person has no integrity, no credibility, and I can write them off and move on. So instead of kind of investing time into this person and ending up potentially in a relationship or something like that, see you, have a good life. You know, you lack credibility. You made a commitment and you broke that at the last minute, which fine. You don't want to go to the event. You don't want to go with me. You know, no big deal. But tell me on Monday or Tuesday and we can find another, you know, date, right? Or a friend or something like that. It's not the end of the world, but it's like, oh, okay, you're a low character person, right? So anyways, just a little side note on the old unlicensed counselor dating life as well too there, right, Robin? Okay, so we've hit the importance of credibility, the lack of credibility. Now let's talk about, you know, how can you build some credibility? Well, shouldn't it just be the converse a lot of these things? Yeah, but I'll flesh it out in a little more detail for you as well. So the number one way to kind of build credibility is consistency, right? So being consistent in your words and your actions, it helps build trust and proves you're reliable, right? So, you know, a manager who's out there constantly supporting their team, right? If you're in the workplace, like they're going to become and feel more credible, right? If you're out there just supporting them and you're showing up, what can I do? How can I help you? You're going to build that credibility for being there. Heck, half the time I feel like just showing up and being there for others is going to build a long way, right? Of kind of being present for them. So, you know, I think consistency in whatever you're doing, you're going to show that you're credible. Maybe like showing up every week for a podcast and talking about behavioral health issues, right? You know, I think that could be a way that we could build some credibility over the time. Maybe some people won't like some of my takes today. Maybe you'll challenge my credibility today. I don't think so. These are just opinions of an unlicensed counselor. But hey, you know what? I'm here, I'm showing up, and I'm going to give you, you know, some ideas and thoughts around these topics as well, too. Number two on the list of building credibility, transparency, right? Like I said, the converse of the other ones would be how we build these. So openly sharing information, motives, and decisions builds trust and demonstrates integrity, right? So a business that openly communicates with its customers about maybe their product ingredients or how they build it, you know, we're seeing that as a big thing. I'm not a health food nut, but I do like to kind of know what's in some of my food. You know, I personally like less ingredients versus monosaturated poly, you know, when it's like, I thought it was just an apple. You know, I don't need to, you know, I like to know all of these things. And I think I find, you know, that I trust brands and things like that that are kind of a little bit more transparent, that there's three ingredients in this thing. So, you know, just little things like this help build credibility that, oh, this is a brand that I can trust. This is one that actually is healthy. It's not just marketing spin on top of this as well, too. Number three on the list is expertise, right? So gaining and demonstrating knowledge or skills in a specific area can enhance your credibility. You know, I'd like to think that's a little bit of what, you know, the Unlicensed Counselor podcast is. You know, I went to graduate school for 4 years, completed all the coursework at school, didn't get through the practicum for various reasons, startup, family, blah, 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 blah. But I do have the expertise that kind of came along with this. And I think that hopefully I can demonstrate some of that knowledge and skills as we're sitting here kind of sharing every single week and kind of breaking down the game film on these variety of topics on these specific areas. Hopefully you can find, you may not agree with everything that I say, but you can at least find me to be a credible source on the information and the facts that I'm kind of sharing with you. You know, occasionally, do I wander off into some opinions on the matter? Absolutely. It's the podcast that I host. I want to be able to do that. And this gives me the forum and the ability to do that, right? But hopefully you can see there's some expertise at least behind this as well, which gives me the credibility to kind of get behind this microphone every single week and start talking to you about these topics as well, too. And number four on the list is ethical behavior, right? So adhering to moral principles and ethical standards in all actions enhances credibility, right? For instance, a journalist who actually diligently verifies their sources before publishing news is seen as more credible. Candidly, I thought that's what the news was. I thought you had to have multiple sources and be verified, not that you could go to TMZ or Twitter and pull a half-baked idea, a thought, or a conspiracy and turn that into a piece of news. I mean, the news really should be looked at as more, I don't know, it's not even education. It's like, you know, one thought on the matter. I mean, these are random things pulled from various sources that are continuously show to be untrustworthy, unverified, and completely biased on both sides, by the way, on both sides of this thing. So, you know, ethical behavior, moral principles, and that stuff comes through as you stand in front of a camera, as you stand in front of a microphone, as you put your voice out there and you kind of back up. So when I walk out of the podcast studio here, I'm not out here just flicking off the next guy who makes a turn that I don't like or cuts me off in traffic. I'm living and breathing, kind of being the person that you hear, you know, speak on the microphone to you right now, right? And last but not least, on kind of, you know, building credibility is delivering results, right? Nothing says credible like, look at my track record, right? I mean, it's a very easy way to kind of be able to do that. So consistently delivering on promises and producing tangible outcomes builds credibility over time. Not overnight, over time. You know, this is, you know, you see consultants who do this, and it's like, okay, or if I'm applying for a job and I've got multiple candidates that are out there, I can look back and see kind of the track record of some of these folks and who I would pick with. And it's like, oh, they've delivered X, Y, and Z results at these organizations over time. That makes a lot of sense. I think I'd probably like to go with them. Same thing applies here in the sense of credibility as well, too. You just kind of prove it out over time. There's really no shortcuts to becoming a credible person, in my opinion. You either prove it out over the stuff. And let's also say, credibility doesn't have to be 100%. Like, I mean, if you miss on a topic or a thought or something like that and go, I was wrong. Like, shoot, messed up, didn't see that, didn't factor that in. That's okay, acknowledge it, accept it, and then let's move on. What I'm looking for is that arrow that kind of consistently moves up and to the right in terms of your track record and who you are as a credible person. So, look, you know I wandered a little into some areas that that probably won't allow this episode to get posted onto YouTube. So what? No big deal. Don't care. But I do think it's important that as you have trusted people in your life, people that you look to for information during crises, you know, when you're scared, nervous, don't know what to do, let's make sure the people that you're turning to have these kind of characteristics of being a credible person, and they are worthy of you kind of entrusting them and making sure that they have the character and the credibility they deserve to kind of be giving you this opinion as well, too. So good stuff. Hope you got something out of it. It's a topic I really was excited to kind of dive into. As you know, I kind of came in a little hot today, but hey, it's what you get with the Unlicensed Counselor. So hope you got something out of it. Maybe share this episode with a friend or Keith Olbermann, and we'll take it from here. My name is Steve Moak. I am the Unlicensed Counselor. Until next time, thank you very much.